Yeah, that's the name of the documentary we're going to talk about now with the producer, Dan Protest. Dan, good evening and welcome to WGN.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
You bet. That's a great actor, Edward Norton. This is a This is a great documentary, and I'll be honest, you know, I wasn't aware of this having such a, I guess, a cause connected to it. I mean, the basic thing is, you know, we all know that there is a ton of old, rusty, never used anymore railroad tracks all over the United States. Somebody wants to convert them into bike paths. Great idea. What could possibly be wrong with that, is what I say to myself. And then I watch this documentary, and there's a lot going on in there.
Yeah, and I also am a fan of rail trails just as a user. I live in Bucktown, really close to the 606, and I'm on there every day, twice a day. I run there every day. And I've done some long-distance trips on rail trails in Wisconsin, and I had no idea until Peter Harnick approached me with the idea of adapting his great book into a documentary that every single mile of those 26,000 miles of rail trails across America, someone had to fight for. Actually, you kind of alluded to, there's a chapter in Peter's book. It's titled, "It's a Great Idea. Who Could Possibly Be Against It?" And a lot of people are against it. You know, namely private property interests who think that when the railroad went out of business, that they should have inherited the railroad corridor for themselves, because that's valuable territory that the railroads were sitting on. But who's in favor of it is anyone who enjoys public space, walking, hiking, biking. And for me personally, I lived in Bucktown before they built the 606, and I used to jog and walk on the street. And now I'm up above the automobiles, enjoying a leisurely walk.
Now, this whole rail-to-trail movement has been around for, what, for decades, correct?
Yeah, since the 1960s, and this is obviously a national documentary. I flew all over the country for it, filmed stories in Brownsville, Texas, New York, Seattle, probably made about 10 different trips around the country. But the movement actually has its roots right here in Chicago. On the Illinois Prairie Path was the first rail trail project to get underway. It wasn't the first to be completed because it took a long time to put the project together. But there was a naturalist named May Watts who had the idea. She'd gone to England and saw these beautiful hiking paths that anyone could use, young or old, these public hiking and walking paths. And she said, why can't we do that here in the suburbs west of Chicago? And then she was driving across these old abandoned railroad tracks, the CANE railroad that runs out to Elgin. And she said, wait a second, this railroad is abandoned. Why don't we build a hiking path right here? And that was the start of this movement.
And I saw in the documentary too that you highlighted a letter that she wrote to the Chicago Tribune.
Yes, I would try to quote it for you if it immediately came to mind. What does she say? Oh, she says, we are human beings. We are meant to walk upright on two feet. She basically says her famous line is the bulldozers are drooling, that there are, you know, hungry bulldozers looking to get their teeth into this railroad embankment and turned it into parking. And in fact, that was one of the many things that slowed down this project, was several sections of the railroad were paved over for parking by individual suburbs.
We're going to do more about this great documentary, Rails to Trails, with Dan when we come back on 720 WGN. Vigga, that's right.
720,
Vigga. Boy, when former President Kennedy came on, I'm like, wow, because I'm old enough. We're talking to Dan Protest, who's the producer and director of a great documentary called Rails to Trails. Before we go any further, this is coming on when? October 20th, is that right?
October 20th on WTTW Channel 11 at 9 p.m. And it's available now on the PBS app and at pbs.org.
So people of a certain era, like my era, when suddenly John F. Kennedy is on saying anything, immediately grabs your attention. Yeah. And I know that you're not old enough to.
I'm a child of the Reagan era. I did the Reagan era physical fitness challenge
with Arnold Schwarzenegger or whatever it was. No, that was later. Anyway, I'm getting off track. No pun intended.
Yeah. No, JFK was urging the people of America to get off their couches and get out of their cars and to get up on their 2 feet and get some exercise.
Right. And you mentioned earlier when I asked you that this Rails to Trails movement, if you will, began in the 60s. And that takes you right back to it. It's almost like Kennedy has got the starting gun and says, okay, let's go.
Yeah, I mean, he urged the people of America to get outside, and a few rail hikers, they were called, went out, and they realized, you know, the easiest way to put on a lot of mileage on your own 2 feet was uninterrupted by cars was on these old abandoned railroad embankments or rights of way, and so they walked. This one guy, I think the original rail hiker, walked something like 100 miles along a railroad corridor and said, "Hey, this is a great place for us to go hiking." And he started mapping all of these abandoned railroad corridors all over America, because part of the story, and we tell this in the documentary, is we as a country had way overbuilt the railroads in the 19th century. We built way more railroads than we actually needed. And especially once the car came along, many of those railroads went out of business, and this was a great way to repurpose them as hiking and biking trails.
We're not going to have time to get into all the things that I want to, so I'll just throw out some different items from the documentary that grabbed my attention, and one is the Intermodal Surface Transportation Efficiency Act of 1991, which in itself is not an efficient way of saying whatever it's saying, quite frankly.
Well, it can be shortened to the acronym ICE-T. But that was the first major transportation bill that appropriated money for non-automobile uses in a significant way. And that money, in many ways, transformed America. It first of all, it went to, critically for this documentary, it went to rail trails and helped expand that network across the country. But it also transformed cities like our own in devoting federal transportation dollars to bike lanes. And we started to see Chicago and many other cities build bike lanes in a serious way. And that obviously the federal dollars are these days are not quite there in the same way, but we're still building bike lanes.
How many miles of bike lanes do you suppose there are currently in the United States?
Bike lanes or rail trails, there's 26,000 miles.
Oh, rail trails. I'm sorry. Yeah, rail
trails. Yeah, 26,000 miles and counting. You know, one of the stories we tell in the documentary is there is now the Great American Rail Trail that they're in the process of building, a rail trail where you can cross the entire country from Washington, D.C. to Washington State. And I met up with a cyclist just south of Chicago. He had just hit the 1,000-mile mark. He was a military veteran who was doing this outdoor therapy program for veterans. And he went with about 15 other folks, made it all the way across the country. It is, you know, it's still not entirely built. So in many sections, you're routed onto roads. But eventually, that's the dream, that you can bike the entire distance all the way across the country without coming into contact with a single car.
That would be unbelievable. What about where does all of this stand now as far as where is it headed, so to speak? I mean, you already mentioned that there are those that are object to the idea of these lands being used simply for recreation and not for profit, if you will, condos or other developments, and even the individuals who have homes near these railroad tracks that don't really like the idea of this happening at all. Where does all that stand now?
So, I mean, the network is continuing to be built out. There are examples right here in Chicago. Well, the 606 I mentioned, they are looking to extend that. The Englewood Nature Trail is a really exciting project that's happening in Englewood. There's the Bronzeville Rail Trail that's underway. But there are, as you mentioned, real threats. First of all, federal funding, not that these trails necessarily require federal funding, but there's been threats of pulling back on those federal dollars. And then threats to the rail banking law, which, as we explain in the documentary, is pretty critical. And that is the law that allowed them to, when a railroad went under, they could hold that corridor intact, basically put it in a bank so that it could be temporarily used as a trail until someday a railroad wants to return to the right of way again.
You know,
and that is very much under threat.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned earlier that you said that we back in railroads heyday and prior to the heyday, there were, it was actually railroads overdid it, so to speak. And there's a series that I've watched called The Gilded Age, just to bring this
up. I love it. I was watching that series as I was making this documentary. So
really?
It was very much top of mind. I mean, one of the characters in that series is a railroad baron.
Exactly.
And one of these people who benefited from our great-grandparents' taxpayer dollars that were appropriating land, incentivizing the railroad barons to build, and to eventually overbuild.
I thought I was going out there on some sort of really sort of obscure reference, but no. When I was watching your documentary, and it got to the whole idea of overdeveloping these rail lines and the barons that were involved with, you know, competition against each other and who knows what that was involved in their desire to profit from all the rail business, where that golden age. I just was like, yeah, that's got to be what that's about. And I guess it really is.
I mean, as we say, it was more profitable in those days to build railroads than to operate them.
Right.
So the incentive was there to build whether they were needed or not. So I think the number is there were 7 different routes between Chicago and St. Louis and 9 different routes between Chicago and New York.
Wow.
Obviously, we didn't need all those. So at a certain point, once we had the automobile, some of those went out of business. And, you know, some people say like, oh, I'm not in favor of these rail trails. They're forcing people, railroads, out of business. And I'm pro rail. That is not the case at all, they are forcing railroads out of business to build these rail trails. The railroads are just going under. And this is a wonderful way of reusing them for people to get outdoors.
Yeah.
And, you know, good for your health and obviously good for the environment, you know, carbon-free methods of transportation. And in some cities, we saw them building light rail alongside the trail. So, you know, originally there would have been heavy freight on a railroad. That goes under. It's replaced by a trail. And now, you know, flash forward another 20, 30 years, and they're building a new light rail line alongside the trail. And so using the corridor for many different purposes.
Well, you know, as time goes on, things change. You know, there were trains, and then there were trucks, and then there were cars, and transportation and the movement of goods across the country goes through various changes. And that's reflected in your documentary. Dan, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You bet. I hope everybody tunes in October 20th for Rails to Trails. Dan Protest, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
You bet.